Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is with us again. Hello, Yvonne.
Yeah, hello.
It is Friday, February 14th, 2014, just after 3 UTC. A little later in the week than we usually like to record, but, you know, some things came up or something.
Well, one of the things that happened
was Yvonne completely forgot about the time we were supposed to record.
No. It was a little bit. It was far more complicated than that.
Yeah.
And actually, you'll love this. What happened? For whatever reason, we have a friend of ours that was getting married.
Okay.
Married. This is her. I have a rule. I guess I don't care if she listens to the podcast or not. Look, yeah. I have a rule that I try not to go to second. If you get married and I went to your first wedding and you get a divorce, usually I don't go to the second wedding. All right,
okay.
It's just, you know what? I'm just like, really? Till death do us part, blah blah blah. Really? I heard the spiel the last time. Okay, you're giving me the spiel again.
Isn't it still a good party?
Well, okay, when the wedding was done on a Tuesday at 9 a.m. and no alcohol was served, no.
Okay.
There was apple juice in the champagne glasses, okay?
Uh-huh,
all right.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I mean, you know, look, it's her decision, whatever, you know, it's like, and you know what, I really hope it all works out this time, okay, all right, you know, it's like they're very happy at the ceremony, but the bottom line is that the wedding was on a Tuesday at 9 a.m.
That's an odd time for a wedding.
It's an extremely odd time, and it really meant that my son that day had a very extremely off-scheduled day, all
uh-huh, right?
Right. So, you know, look, it wound up being that we got home, everybody got home. At some point, like at 5 o'clock, my son had no nap, had been up early, and boom, he fell asleep.
Mm-hmm.
I usually, on Tuesdays, I have a class at 6 p.m. at the gym, so I went and I told my wife, I said she was up, and I said, okay, well, I'm going to go to the gym, and I'll be back in an hour. Okay, all right, so she's pretty close by. I got home, she's asleep, he's asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, God. And it was, like, close to 7:30, because I think I stopped for gas or something. You know, anyway, I'm like, good God almighty. All right? It's 7:30.
Everyone's
asleep.
Both asleep. Yep.
Okay? This is not good. I go, and I think, I can't remember, did I prepare dinner? Anyway, bottom line is that at some point, my wife wakes up. I actually made myself a sandwich to eat. They're both in bed. She gets up and she says, well, I need to eat. I'm like, okay, well, you stay in bed with him, okay?
And you'll
this
go get
sometime
food.
Around 9 while she was getting food. Because she didn't want, he fell asleep on our bed,
right.
Not even on his.
Yep.
I'm like, okay, all right. So I go, and this is like sometime past 9, and I get into the bed. Guess what happens?
You fall
asleep. I fell asleep.
Uh-huh.
So she doesn't come into the room until well past 10. All of a sudden, I see the messages about it. I actually, for whatever the hell reason, thought it was Monday.
Uh-huh.
All right? Because the day was so messed up. And then I'm like, oh my God, what the hell? It's Tuesday. I'm like, oh, jeez. It was just a mess. It was just a mess.
Anyway. I understand, and you know, and I understand the falling asleep thing too. I on Wednesday evening was my mother's birthday, so Alex and I took her out for dinner. The rest
That's
of the
nice.
Family had
there you go.
Had class and stuff.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
And so when it was done, he fell asleep on the way home. And it was like 9:30 or something, which is early for us. But, you know, I carried him upstairs into the house. I lay down with him in my bed, and I was asleep 5 minutes later, before anybody else got home. So
right.
And next thing I knew, it was morning. So
yeah, and it's just one of those things. I was like, well, I wasn't like that. It wasn't that bad. But the bottom line is that I was in bed, and I'm like, oh God, well, what the hell am I gonna do now?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it's one of those crazy things.
Understood. You know? But you know, we have an actual show planned.
We have an actual show. We went through it, and we've got topics.
We've got four topics.
By the way, did you fix the battery on the damn smoke detector. Now, I don't know if any of you, and I've said it on the show, I don't know if I said it on the show, but I've been
said it on the show many times.
I have been bitching about him for this damn stupid battery for I don't know how long.
Yeah.
It was years.
Hold on, Alex. Yvonne's talking.
Literally years. All right? And Sam kept blowing me off.
Yes.
Now, finally, we have a listener that actually heard the damn smoke detector. So, did you take care of it?
We've probably had more listeners who've heard it.
We had one that actually complained.
Yeah, he's like, fix the damn thing.
Damn smoke detector! Yes! Did you?
This was, of course, Bruce, who's sent comments to us before. I have not touched it. No. And I think, like, I mentioned it on Twitter. Like, I don't even hear it anymore. Certainly not when I'm in this.
But all of us else do. Don't suffer from some disease or something.
And as I've mentioned before, the problem is, the particular smoke detector in question is one that is too high to reach with the ladder that we have. It's like high ceiling, and the ladder we have isn't high enough for me to stand on the ladder and reach this particular one. So we need a slightly taller ladder. Like, we have a 10-foot ladder, and we need like a 12-foot ladder or something like that. And we just, you know, it's the only thing that we need the bigger ladder for. No other situation has come up.
What I've done in this situation is I've hired somebody to come in and do it.
I'm not going to hire somebody to come in and change a damn battery.
Yes!
I'll buy the stupid ladder, for God's sake. I mean, it's, you know, we've...
It's cheaper. What? Wait a minute. What the hell? You, like you said, why? You don't need a 12-foot ladder. What are you going to do? Where are you going to load this 12-foot ladder? You're going to go shop for a 12-foot ladder?
No.
Where are you going to load it?
I'll order it on Amazon.
That's not a bad
idea. It's probably Prime.
Wonder how much the shipping on that turkey is.
It's probably Prime. It's free.
Okay, well then order the damn ladder. Could you get this damn thing fixed?
Yeah, it is still like the cost benefit thing of like, but you know, I don't know. Like,
What about a fire?
I'm looking here. Multi-purpose aluminum ladder, folding step ladder, extension length 12.5 feet, $85, Prime. It could be here in 2 days.
Do it.
And it's like all foldable so it gets relatively... I need to make sure 12 feet is actually tall enough before I hit the buy button. Going to do it while we're on the phone.
All right, do it. then do it.
And there's a 22-foot version for $189 if I need an even longer one.
22 feet? Jesus.
It's like one of these collapsible ones, so you can make it shorter or taller depending on what you need at the time.
That's kind of cool. Yeah. But you know that you know what, if you climb to the top of a 22 foot ladder, I'm worried about you dying. So I would prefer just stick with 12. 12 is a height that I feel that if you fell, you're not gonna get killed. 22 feet, yeah, you could get killed.
That's true. You know.
All right. So yeah, stick with 12, 13, just 15 tops. 22.
Not a 22-foot collapsible ladder.
No. I worry about your safety. and I seriously do. I mean, you know, unfortunately, these are the things I gotta worry. I've known Sam for this long. We were having a discussion this week about his, let's just say, inability to really do mechanical things. All right, if I see Sam with a saw, I get scared.
I don't want him
to cut off a hand.
By the way, I should be clear. I guess like my numbers are all way off here. Like a 12-foot ladder would probably be, you don't actually need it a 12-foot ladder to reach something that's 15 feet up because of course your height is added to
it. Correct.
So like, yeah, I have to figure out what size I really need. All I know is it's bigger than it needs something taller than the one I have, which I think is actually probably a 6-foot ladder.
Right.
But anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, so we have actual topics.
How did I get off topics?
We have the debt limit, debt ceiling, debt limit, whatever.
Same shit.
Yeah. We have the odd thing that a number of people have commented that over the last couple of weeks.
Look it.
Yes, I know. You've got what is it? A Twizzler? Yeah, some kind of licorice thing. Okay. A number of Republicans have, for some reason, and most notably Rand Paul, but others as well, have been bringing up the whole Monica Lewinsky thing, somehow thinking that this will reflect poorly on Hillary Clinton. Anyway, we'll talk more about that and any other implications to 2016 of that and other things that are going on, like immigration and blah, blah, blah. Then Flappy Bird. There was a whole little thing on Flappy. First of all, everybody got all excited about it, and then the developer pulled it and blah, blah, blah. We'll talk about it for a few minutes.
Yeah.
And then finally, we'll wrap it up talking about AOL's distressed baby.
Yes.
AOL's distressed baby. So, let's get this thing started. Debt ceiling. Now, I have to say, like, has the president signed it yet? It passed both the House and the Senate.
I thought it did, but
it has passed both the House and the Senate. I don't know if the president signed it yet, but I don't think he's going to veto it. So I think, you know, just last week we were talking about predictions on this, and I said I thought they'd bring it to the last 48 hours, and
I told you it was like going to be a non-issue.
You know, I must say, I think that a big part of this was the stupid snowstorm that's happening. They wanted to get it done before the snowstorm. Otherwise, they would have let it go.
I don't think that was the case.
Yeah.
I'm
trying to make excuses for myself, Yvonne.
Like, I know you're doing, but you're not doing a very good job. Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, it says here 12 hours ago, Obama designed debt ceiling. So, okay, so sometime today, apparently, he was going to sign it.
Okay.
Look. He knew that this was just pointless.
And we said in the end there's no question whatsoever that they were going to cave. It was just a question of the time.
It was just a question of time, and I just think that Bonner just decided, you know, if he waited longer on it, it was going to be more detrimental than positive. All it did was like
they had a number of meetings on like what could we hold out for in exchange for this, and they couldn't come to agreement on anything because
that's right.
And that included, by the way, let's say that we'll only do this if it includes this thing that the Democrats want anyway. You know, right. In the hopes that, hey, at least we could say, well, we got this, and the Democrats are like, okay, cool. But they couldn't even agree on any of those because there was no single thing that the entire Republican caucus could agree on. And so they did this again. And one of the things I noted is the number of Republicans, it's, you know, almost all the Democrats, plus a few Republicans, the number of Republicans that voted for seems to be declining in these. It's maybe because they didn't have to.
I've seen a chart over the years of, like, you know, the votes on the debt ceiling.
About the same?
Yeah, you know, depending on who was in control and who was the president and who was for and who was against, it was like, you know, people seem to, like, love making a statement of it.
Right.
You know?
Basically, they got enough Republicans to do it with a safe margin, but there were other Republicans that probably would have been willing to do it if they had to, but since they didn't have to, they're not going to.
No, they exactly.
Because,
exactly right.
Because they know in the primaries, you know, Republicans are getting primaried left and right for going along with this kind of thing.
Right. Right.
And there was a lot written in the last week about how this once again is exposing the divisions within the Republican Party. A lot of the more conservative Republicans are once again making noise about trying to replace Bonner. Alex, shush, shush, shush. Nothing's going to happen of it, you know, for the time being. But, you know, I think that a lot of what you're seeing with these divisions When is it going to really play out? When it's really going to play out, you might see a little bit in the primaries this year, but really it's going to play out in the Republican nomination process in 2016. That's when you're going to see this war within the Republican Party come front and center again, and you know, see what they can come up with. And you know, we've talked before, I think, you know, whoever the establishment decides is their candidate is going to come out ahead again, but you never know. You could have a scenario like what you did with Goldwater, where or like what you had with Bill Clinton, where the establishment types just don't show up or don't aren't able to unify, and you end up with somebody more radical winning.
That's all very possible, but you know, I think Bonner knew this is a lost cause. Every time they've gone through this thing, it's always backfired on them. And like a whole bunch of people said, it's like, look, they've been having quite a lot more mileage on using Obamacare than this shit. Why? This has been a negative. Net, totally net negative for them. Why the hell, you know, go through with it? And he just said, screw it, I'm not doing it. And he was, I mean, strategically, he was right. So,
yeah, and I think there's been a lot of speculation too that this is the last gasp, that you know each one of these attempts over the last year has been weaker than the one before. Obviously, they shut down the government last time, but
what did they do? It massively backfired. They had this Obamacare mess going in the background, and it got completely overshadowed by this.
Yeah, and so the question is, you know, do they get back to the point where it's just routine, where we don't even have anybody talking about this?
Well, let's face it, they extended it all the way to
2015 sometime.
2015. Right. So we're not going to have this shit happen until after the midterms.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of like he's basically decided to make it a non-issue, period.
Yeah. I mean, but you still have some part of the caucus saying they want to make a deal of it. They want to.
Yeah, but it's not a sufficiently large block. The Republicans themselves, the establishment Republicans, are trying to themselves marginalize these people.
Oh, they absolutely are, and you've seen over the last couple months a war by the establishment folks
against these guys,
and not just, you know, with this action you're seeing here, but they're starting to mobilize money for these primary campaigns.
Absolutely.
To keep more of these people from winning and get some of them out and replace them with more quote unquote moderate Republicans. And I don't know. Like I said, it's the war in the Republican Party. At some point, it's going to come to a head. Because what you see, though, is like if you look at the number of Republicans who voted for and against this, of course, many more voted against than voted for. Pretty much only the leadership voted for. And it's like, if that's really a representation of the split within the party, why are they the leadership?
Right.
You know, why don't they vote out Bonnier?
Right. I mean, but I don't think they're going to be able to vote him out. I really don't. I mean, I don't.
Well, if they want, if clearly, if everybody who wanted to vote, if everyone who voted no on the debt limit deal wanted Bonnier out, they could vote him out.
But that's not true. A lot of those people simply voted no, like you said before, because they didn't have to.
Yeah, they don't really want Bonnier out. Also, there's the question of, if you got rid of him, could all the Republicans actually agree on a single replacement? Because what has to happen, of course, is the vote for Speaker of the House is not a vote just of the majority party. It's a vote of the whole House. So what usually happens is the majority party votes internally to decide who their candidate is going to be, and then everybody in the party votes for that guy. So if you can't have an agreement within the party on a candidate, then you don't necessarily have that unity. And then the majority party may not even be able to pick a speaker, because if, you know, most of the Republicans voted for, you know, Like we talked about this the other time when they voted for Speaker, and more people defected than usual from voting for Bonnier. That, you know, they had 14 more votes, they could have denied him a majority. But, you know, the Democrats wouldn't have had a majority either, and you'd have a split, and then what do you do? And there are procedures for that, but it gets very dynamically complicated there. And there was even some talk of the Democrats making a side promise to Bonnier that if he went along with some of these and got a leadership challenge, the Democrats would vote for Bonnier to keep him in place over some Tea Party candidate.
Yeah, I mean, I would think. I mean, there's no way. I mean, let's face it. I mean, that. I mean, I could see that as an outcome. So, I mean, I think. Listen, I think Bonner's safe in his place. I mean, I think he did what he really needed to do, and I think you've got a core Republican that is probably larger than the teabaggers at this point in order to keep him in place. I really do. I think that for all the noise that they've been making...
I think if that wasn't the case, he would have been gone a long time ago.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, let's face it. Look, a lot of these teabagging loudmouths are retiring, leaving, or doing something. Look, the biggest loudmouth... What's her name? Frickin' Bachman. That moron. She's leaving the house. Palin's gone. I mean, all these fucking... Yeah, well, I don't mean from the house, but what I'm saying, I know she wasn't in the house, but what I'm talking about is that a lot of these people, whether they're in the house or other places, they're moving out of the spotlight in the Republican Party, is my point. And the Republican establishment is forcibly pushing them out of the spotlight.
Yeah, maybe some of these guys, but I mean, obviously you've got like... Yeah, you've got Rand Paul, you've got Ted Cruz, you've got Paul Ryan, you've got a few folks here.
Listen, Ted Cruz has more negatives than positives. I mean, you go out there and you freaking like pull on Ted Cruz.
Oh, he's a psycho. I'm not denying that. Like, here's the thing. You know, a lot of these people of the sort I've just mentioned are very, very popular amongst the people who support them.
Right.
And amongst that part of the party. But you know, they're not necessarily, you know, like, if you poll them amongst the population at large, Republicans and Democrats, of course they're not particularly
like shit.
But they're strong within a Republican base.
Yeah, but that's what the Republican leadership is trying to move away from. They are trying to marginalize these guys. It's the they're doing the job. Listen, so what if they poll good with all these morons? Who cares? They don't... Listen, they are doing everything possible to fucking just keep them out at this point. That's what they're doing. So...
And it will be interesting to see this the struggle within the Republican Party. I mean, the establishment tends to have the money. They tend to have more support from the Wall Street types. They obviously have the momentum of having been in charge. Meanwhile, a lot of sort of the core people who appeal to quote unquote the base, but there's several different bases, and we've talked about this before. There's the religious conservatives, there's the economic conservatives, there's the libertarian conservatives, there's the business conservatives, and all of these have different interests. And that's what seems to be sort of tearing apart at the moment, because these folks aren't coming together, you know, in one place right now. And so who wins for the heart and soul of the Republican Party is, I think, one of the key questions that's going to be playing out over the next few years. And we'll see where it goes. But back to debt limit for just a minute. A lot of people are saying this is the last gasp. I think absent a further, absent a leadership change or major changes in 2014,
you
just aren't going to see these happening anymore.
It's over. I think it's over for a while. Okay.
Now that, and of course, we've talked before, like, there are proposals on the table that would basically neuter or completely eliminate the debt limit. I don't know that there's enough support to pass one of those yet, but eventually there will be.
Well, I'll tell you what, there was an editorial this week in the Wall Street Journal supporting, you know, killing the damn thing. I'll tell you what, which, you know, and they're not usually for this kind of shit.
Not known as a liberal publication.
No, not exactly, no. The whole thing, like, we've talked about this before. It, to me, the whole debt limit thing is nonsense. If you're authorized to spending, then, you know, then, I mean, I'm sorry, then you're trying to authorize to pay for it, you're already authorized to spend the damn money.
Yeah, we've said this before.
I mean, this is the most ridiculous thing that there is out there. I mean, you know, and then to say, well, we're going to hold you hostage until you get some more money. Asshole, then why the hell did you authorize the damn spending in the first place? Anyway.
Indeed. Okay, let's move on. And when we come back, we'll talk about why Lewinsky's coming up. And I guess it's going to tie into the conversation we just had. We'll bring the Democrats into the mix, too. We'll be back after this.
This is Sam here with an opportunity for you. Yes, you heard me right, an opportunity. For you loyal listeners of Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, every once in a while, Yvonne can't make a show. And I do a solo show. Which, you know, I think I do okay, but you know, it's always interesting to have a second person to bounce off. And just in general, sometimes it's good to hear another voice. If you, yes, you, have some things to say about the kinds of things we usually talk about on Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, politics, current events, news, tech, then drop me a line at abelsmay@abelsmay.com letting me know. And hey, I'll keep you in mind and maybe ask if you can join us sometime. Either on a regular show with Yvonne, if it's something particularly pressing that you maybe have an expertise on, or just, you know, hey, an opportunity to co-host when Yvonne is out. Who knows? Now, I am not guaranteeing that if you send me an email, you'll definitely get on the show, but let me know if you're interested, and I'll keep you in mind. Thanks, and now, back to the show.
Sing it, Yvonne.
Ah, yes, we're back. Apparently.
Yes, we are. I mentioned briefly, and there's not really a lot more to say about this, but a number of Republicans over the last couple weeks have been bringing up, you know, Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky and Bill Clinton's other bimbo eruptions, as they used to call them.
In what context, by the way, was the bringing up, I guess? Because I didn't hear it personally.
Okay, let's see if I can find one of these.
You don't have to be that specific.
Okay, look, basically it was along the lines of, you know, if we have if Hillary Clinton is the nominee, there are all kinds of negatives that she has, which we know, but one of those that was brought up repeatedly was, you know, I know what the context. The context was the Republican war on women, and basically saying it's not the Republicans who have a war on women. Look at the Democrats; they covered up for Bill Clinton for 8 years, and look at how he treated women.
He had sex with them. I mean, probably they enjoyed it. Apparently. I don't know. I mean, really?
Look,
let me just say one thing. All right, yes. When people fuck around, it's not just a guy. All right, it's both people. All right, what do you think? Oh my God, what Bill Clinton slipped a freaking whatchamacallit, the little date rape drug in the fucking girl? No, the girl wanted to bang him. This is not a war on women.
Thank you, Yvonne, for your basically it was you know, Bill Clinton being a misogynist pig was basically it. But look, here's the thing. I think the fundamentally, like, there are lots and lots of negatives that Hillary Clinton has that I'm sure will be brought up and pounded into the dust if she is indeed the
nominee. But on the other hand, what she revealed was quite a lot of positives over the last number of years.
Yeah, no, but let me say, there are tons and tons and tons of negative stuff about Hillary Clinton that will be brought up and will damage her. However, Monica Lewinsky
is not one of them.
Is not one of them. Because here, look, her approval ratings while that was going on
were
the highest they've ever been. Because guess what? She was the victim in that. Or yes. At least a perceived victim because he cheated on her.
Right.
And everybody felt sorry for her. And look at how she's like, you know, being stoic and keeping up with this. And like, nobody like looked at that situation and said, you know, Hillary Clinton sucks because of that. Yeah, they might have said Bill Clinton sucks because of that. Or Bill Clinton sucks. Is an awful person.
He
I know it's the other way around. Yeah, okay. I knew you had to do that.
I'm sorry, I couldn't resist.
And you'll be talking about cigars in a second. Anyway, but look, Hillary came off well in that whole scenario.
Agreed. She came off very well.
Everybody else, but frankly, on all sides of that whole thing, came out looking bad.
I mean, Hillary
came out looking good out of that.
Yes.
So how are you possibly going to try to use that particular thing?
Well, I think to damage Hillary? I think that they are grasping at straws. I mean, that's the reality.
The other thing that came out recently is what was it called? The Hillary Diaries or a friend of Hillary's who was a professor somewhere who died left her notebooks and notes and diaries and such to the university she worked at or something like that.
Yeah.
And they include a lot of notes on private conversations with Hillary Clinton during the time she was first lady. And later, I think some later as well. And I was reading some of the excerpts of this and thinking, you know, that she comes out looking pretty good on this. There were a few places where, you know, she indicated thoughts that were somewhat not directly in line with the administration's policies. There were places where she was expressing doubt about what was going on with her own healthcare push during the time that was going on. She made some comments about Lewinsky, you know, basically how, you know, she was unstable and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and some other things. And basically, I looked at those and said, oh, Hillary's looking pretty good. And then I realized, you know, a little while after that, because I thought this was all like positive Hillary Clinton stuff, I realized that a number of conservative sites were trying to make hay about how this made her look bad. And I'm like, really? And I guess this all comes down to the whole what perspective you're coming from. Because
they're grasping at straws. I mean, they're trying to figure out something that they can attack her with. And right now, I guess they're going for, you know, just anything they can get their hands on, I guess.
You know,
they're trying to see what sticks.
And, you know, a number of people on the left have commented that with the kinds of strategies that they're showing so far, the right wing is going to succeed in electing Hillary. You know, because they're bringing out things that they think are negative that actually for the majority of voters are like, yeah, she looks pretty good in that.
Well, I totally agree.
I don't know.
Well, they haven't been doing themselves any favors recently. That's for damn sure. That's what it seems like so far. And
you know, Hillary is by no means inevitable. You know, she may not even run. If she does run, there are all kinds of places and pitfalls where things could happen and she could end up not winning, you know, either the Democratic nomination or the presidency. But, you know, they have to find something, like, real. They can't just keep screaming Benghazi and Hillary Clinton and Lewinsky and bringing up things about...
That's the other thing. Nobody gives a fuck about the whole Benghazi thing. I mean, they keep bringing it up and up and up and up. My God. I mean, nobody is... I mean, it's not grabbing anybody's consciousness. I don't understand what they think. I mean, I understand. Well, I'm saying I don't understand. Look, like I said before, they're trying every tactic that they can. They want to see some negative to see if it sticks. But Jesus, you got to pick some other shit. I mean, for God's sakes, try to pick something relevant. But, I mean, it seems like going the whole Monica thing is like the ultimate grasp at straws. It's like, really? That devoid of anything to attack her with?
Well, and also just in general, they're going to attack the whole Clinton presidency as well. But
I know. That was such a disaster. I mean, Jesus. I mean, we really got fucked that decade. My God. Oh, right. That was the time we actually had a budget surplus. Oh, fuck. Oh, well.
growing economy, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, here's the thing. You know, Clinton didn't necessarily have the best ratings in the world when he left office, although they were pretty decent. They were better than Obama's are right now.
Decent. But hell, they were. Yes, they are.
But, you know, here's the thing. His reputation has been consistently going up since he left office.
Way up.
Like when people,
way the hell up.
When they interview people who remember the 90s, and of course there are voters who don't at this point.
Yes.
But most voters. But when they interview these people or poll them or whatever, they have fond memories of Bill Clinton.
And the 90s. Because the 90s were pretty damn good.
And I should say, again, this is of the general population. And see, here's part of where this comes up with the Republicans is that, you know, hardcore Republicans obviously have a very, very different opinion. And so if what you're doing...
That's a minor amount of people problem.
And here's part of the Republicans' core problem, and it's been their core problem for the last couple of election cycles, frankly, is that to win the Republican nomination, you have to appeal to that core group who is very conservative, who hates the Clintons, hates the Obamas, thinks that they both of them have been destroying the country, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But then, in order to get that nomination, you have to appeal to all those people, you have to swing to all those people, but then, boom, guess what? For the general election, those aren't the people that matter anymore. It's the people at 51%.
Right.
You know, it's the people right smack in the middle who you have to appeal to, and guess what? By going after that core group, you've alienated those middle people. And, of course, the Democrats have the same problem to an extent, but I don't think anywhere near the
degree. Oh, my God, it's nowhere nearly this bad.
Yeah, I mean,
we're nearly this bad.
You know, because yes, you see some tacking to the left in the Democratic primary.
Yeah, but nothing like what you see
on the Republican extreme. Side.
I mean, I think that the Democratic Party has proved itself the last years to be far more centrist than the Republicans. I mean, certainly
on the presidential side. I mean,
you can
argue about some people in the Congress, but the on the presidential side, I mean, Bill Clinton's whole thing, of course, was triangulation and sort of kicking out the left wing of his party and going to a more centrist tack. I mean, he's the one who said the era of big government is over. He took the deficit seriously. He got us to a surplus along with the Republican Congress, who was pushing that along too. Fair credit there. But, you know, and I think Obama, of course, you know, if you listen to the right wing, he's you know, the second coming of Lenin or something.
It's a bunch of bullshit. But, I mean, since he came in, the deficit, the guy who ramped up the deficit to where it was Bush. But Obama in his presidency has brought the deficit with a Republican Congress that has been like fighting and screaming. And it's come down.
And you know, it's a theme on this show. But look at his record on civil liberties.
Right. You know, he hasn't been a fucking civil libertarian.
Look at his foreign policy. He basically continued everything from the Bush administration.
Yes.
You know, and Obamacare, but guess what? Obamacare isn't single payer. Obamacare
was a fucking Republican idea in the first place.
Yes, it was.
It's that's what I mean, I hear these people talking about the dictatorial presidency, the president that doesn't pop, 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 hearing all this crap, and I'm like, really?
Well, and really? And even a couple weeks ago, I was mentioning how in the State of the Union, there was the talk of, you know, basically more executive orders, and he was threatening more executive orders because of, you know, the stalemate in Congress. However, a number of people posted after that some stats that, you know, in terms of number of executive orders he's actually done so far, he's at a much slower pace than any recent president. Now, now he may be planning to accelerate that over the next few years. We'll see.
But it hasn't happened.
But so far, no. Now, that's not to say, like, I mean, I'm fully on board that he has been an abuser of executive power. I'm very in favor of a limited executive, and he is not that. But that's not an Obama thing.
But that's not an Obama thing. That's been something of the presidency over the last, I don't know how many freaking presidencies. I mean, and we've talked about that.
The standard pattern is every president in the last 100 years, at least, has maybe even 200 years, has increased the power of the presidency, except in a few very limited situations, right after Watergate, right after the Civil War, you know, things like that, where it might have gone backward a little bit after pushing forward the other direction, you know, the pendulum swing thing. But other than those few limited time periods, every single president increases the power of the presidency. It's just how it's worked so far. I don't like it. But it means it's not like an Obama thing to hang around his neck particularly, at least not any more so than any other president.
It's
structural in terms of how the structure of modern American politics is set up, which, again, I don't like it, but anyway. So it'll be interesting to see here. I mean, and you're right. Part of the thing that is going on here is the throwing things at the wall and seeing what stick.
Yes.
And starting early. And okay, Benghazi doesn't stick. Okay, Lewinsky doesn't stick. Okay, this doesn't stick. This doesn't stick. Eventually, they'll probably will find something that sticks. And I guess that's the strategy.
Well, at least a little bit better than this. But a few of
these things, you'd think they could say right up front, you know, this one's not going to stick.
Well, they're not that smart, is what they've proven themselves, like, lately, for God's sakes, with most of these tactics. I mean, look at they've done quite a lot of suicidal bullshit.
This comes back to the insular bubble. If the people that you are thinking about and caring about and trying to influence and try to impress with your actions are all the quote-unquote base, then of course you're going to come up with things like this that make your base happy. You're one of the base, essentially, and so that's the way you're thinking too. But that's not how you win general elections that are competitive. The way you have to start saying, okay, I need to keep my base happy, but how do I convince people who don't already believe this stuff that I'm right? And the way to do it is not, you know, is not to keep hammering on some of these things where where the reaction of everybody who's not your base is, what are they on about now? Are they nuts?
Right.
Yeah, those aren't the things you want to pick. And God knows there are plenty of vulnerabilities on the Democratic side. Hillary Clinton has huge things. If you listen back to any of our shows, you know, during the 2008 campaign, both Yvonne and I were pretty darn anti-Hillary.
And we were talking about all kinds of things. Look, you could go like with her voting on the Iraq War. You could go about the original Hillary Care and what they wanted to do back then. You could go on and on about a whole bunch of shit. I mean, you could, and I don't understand. They're going off on all the wrong things because they. I guess, like we mentioned, they inflame the core, but those are not ways. That's not getting you a winnable in that election.
Yeah, and you know, again, who knows? One of these scandals may stick, but
I highly doubt it.
Yeah, and well, here's the thing. If there's going to be a Hillary Clinton scandal that sticks, here's my prediction. It's going to be a new one we haven't heard about before. It's not going to be bringing up something from the fucking 90s. Maybe, and it's probably not even going to be bringing up anything from her time as Secretary of State.
Maybe a lesbian sex scandal?
Honestly, maybe something like that could do it.
That would be interesting.
A lot of people would be absolutely fine with that, but a lot of people wouldn't. And maybe, okay, that's something new at least to talk about.
Well, at least it's something new to talk about.
You know, and that's the thing. And maybe it is something that happened while she was Secretary of State, but it's something new, not something we've already heard about and the public has already rejected,
right?
As an issue, or has already put behind them as, oh, that happened 20 years ago. You know, it'll be, you know, there are stories. You know, there've been a number of bios about her and Bill and their foundation and all the infighting there and politics going on there. And I don't know, maybe there's something there that can be dug up, maybe, like you said, maybe she's had her own affairs and they come to light. Or maybe, the whole time she was Secretary of State, she was secretly siphoning money into her own personal funds. I don't know. I'm making that up, by the way. Something new. And of course, meanwhile, of course, Joe Biden also said, was asked about running in 2016, and his answer was, he's gonna make that decision next year in 2015, but right now he sees no reason not to.
That's something, you know. And we've said that before that it's a big possibility whether he does run or not. So,
and we know by the way that Hillary and Joe Biden have had major policy disagreements while they were both in the Obama administration.
I'd be hard pressed to pick a candidate between the both of them.
Yeah, I've always liked Biden. I've always liked Biden better than Hillary.
He's got problems with his mouth.
He runs his mouth. He's a little bit older. There are a few other Biden-y things, but he's something would majorly have to change in the dynamics for people to say, you know, we had Obama this time. What should we do next time? Let's go for the old white guy. You know?
That would be interesting.
It could happen. It could happen. But, you know, frankly, I think if Hillary is running, which every indication is she is, Joe Biden doesn't stand a shot. I mean, he's run for president how many billion times now?
Quite a lot.
You know, and he never makes it past Iowa and New Hampshire, you know? And he could do it again, but he still won't make it past Iowa and New Hampshire.
Yeah, maybe, who knows?
Okay, I think we've talked enough about this for now. We will, of course, be continuing to talk about 2016 for the next 3 years.
Yes, so be prepared.
Yes. We will be back after this talking about Flappy Bird. Flappy Bird.
Flappies.
Yes, back after this.
This is a break, oh yes, this is a break. This is a break, cause no one gave me any suggestions. I warned you, so this is a break. This is a wonderful break, a wonderful break. Yes, indeed, this is a break. This is a break in the middle of Curmudge's Corner. Yes, this is a break. Yes, yes, this is a break, 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 break. Yes, 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 this is a break. Yes, this is a break, 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 break. Yes, it is a break. And now, and now, and now, and now the break is over.
That is, of course, Flappy Bird.
That is?
Yes, that was Flappy Bird.
I never played it.
You never played it, you never downloaded it, and now you're out of luck.
I had not heard of it until it was shut down.
So, for those of you who don't know, Flappy Bird was a game made by some independent developer in Asia somewhere. It's basically an incredibly simple game. All you do is push a button to make your bird stay up in the air. You have to go through these tubes, and it's just infinite. You go through as many as you can. There's not, it not, never changes. Nothing's different. It doesn't get harder as it goes or easier it goes, but getting through even one is incredibly hard. So, like, my high score at this moment is 6. And apparently getting out of single digits is fairly rare, although there are a few people who've actually gotten in the hundreds who apparently have no lives whatsoever. But so this thing went viral basically because it was so hard and people complained about it. People downloaded the thing and was like, oh my God, this is so hard, but it's incredibly addicting because it's so hard and it's just get through the tubes and you hit one of the tubes once and you die and the game is over. It's not like you get 3 lives, nothing like that. You die once and you're done. And then you just hit the button to play again. And so it's incredibly addicting. And so it was number one on the, and it was a free game, ad supported. So it's got ads in it, no in-app purchases, no upfront cost, just ads. And so it was blown up all over the place. People were complaining about it. People were saying, well, you know, the pipes look a little bit like Mario Brothers. Did he rip that off? And, you know, it's not, and why is it so successful? It's a really crappy, stupid game. Then the interesting part is the developer was getting harassed about this apparently, and apparently had some little mental breakdown and couldn't handle the fact that he was making $50,000 a day off the damn game. And so he pulled the game.
He just said, fuck it. He said, I can't handle it anymore.
I'm done. I'm removing it from all the app stores.
And he did.
Now, I will note a couple of things. It was a free game. It has ads. If you already downloaded it, you still have it. It still has ads.
So he keeps making money.
So he's still getting money. So look, what he probably knows. So there are two possible explanations for this. Maybe the guy really did have a mental breakdown and decided he couldn't handle the pressure and pulled it from everywhere because of that. A number of people have theorized, though, that maybe he's just smart. And, you know, these viral things tend to have a lifespan of a couple weeks, 2-3 weeks, where it booms up, gets very popular, and then it nosedives. And then it disappears and nobody cares about it 2 or 3 weeks later. So he probably is looking at his stats, already sees that it's peaked and started to go down, realizes the place he makes money is in the ads anyway, and says, you know, I'll yank it. And not only will he yank it, he will announce 48 hours in advance that he's going to yank it. Actually, I think it was 22 hours in advance. He will announce in advance that he's going to yank it and get another spike of downloads from all the people who say, oh crap, he's going to pull it. I better download it to see what's going on. And I'll be honest, that's when I downloaded it, because I'd read about it before and I'm like, why would I want a crappy game that's incredibly hard to play and will frustrate me? But then I was like, he's pulling it? Okay, I better download it so that I have the damn thing and can check out and know what everybody's talking about. And so he got another spike of downloads, and then he pulls it as scheduled, and he's going to... And so now everybody's talking about that, and now... And he is still making ad revenue. And now 6 months down the line, when he comes out with a new game, there's going to be press that comes out that says, hey, the guy who pulled the Flappy Bird thing has a new game. Everybody, you better check it out because he might pull it again. And remember that whole Flappy Bird thing? Wasn't it cool? All the attention, blah, blah, blah. And so he'll get a spike on his next game too. Whereas if he just left it out there, then 2 weeks from now, nobody would give a shit about this game. And 6 months from now, when he came out with a new one, no one would talk about it.
It was number one.
It was.
So he didn't need the extra publicity.
No. But if he was... If his downloads were already declining rapidly, this would give him another spike.
Yeah,
and almost apps like this are very front-loaded. People get most of their downloads in right when the app is announced, and then it falls off very rapidly.
I guess, but I mean, let's face it. He was already number one on it. I mean, he was already making a crap load of money off of it.
The quotes were $50,000 a day.
Damn.
Off a crappy little game that he probably put together in a few hours.
Come on. Why can't we come up with a scheme like this? I mean, really? $50,000 a day? A day?
Now, it took a while for it to build. He launched the thing, you know, like 6 months ago or something.
In 6 months? A while to build? That's not a while to build.
Well, yeah, but what happened is he got nothing. And suddenly, like, a few weeks ago, it started to go viral and it exploded. And I will say, by the way, that if you did miss it, like you did, Yvonne, right now...
I did miss it. I'm still, you know...
You're broken up about it, I know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
In the iOS App Store free section, the top four games are all Flappy Bird clones. Like, the first one is Splashy Fish at the moment. So, exactly the same thing, except it's got a fish instead of a bird. Iron Pants, which instead of a bird is a little cartoon character guy. Fly Birdie Flappy Bird Flyer, which is also a bird. And City Bird Flappy Flyer, which is also a bird. Roscoe, shush. So you can still get your fix from other things. And, of course... I believe you shared on Twitter and Facebook a link, which I also did. Almost time for break. But you shared a link saying that smartphones that have this already installed on it are going on eBay and such for insane prices. Yes. We'll talk to you later.
I'm sorry.
Okay, sister's taking Alex and Roscoe. Let go. Okay, bye everybody.
Come on,
oh my God. Go with them.
Okay.
Oh my God. What was that?
That was something.
Anyway, so, what the hell was I saying? Floppy something.
Well,
oh, eBay. Now, most of these bids have got to be fake. This isn't real. People aren't buying these phones.
I mean, somebody's not going to pay. What was the top bid? Like $100,000?
Yeah, on one of them. Nobody's going to... No, you got to be out of your mind.
There are people out of their minds.
There are people out of your mind. But let me point out two things. One, if you really want this game... I am sure there are smart people who can take the application bundle off of their phone and install it on yours on a jailbroken phone or something like that without you having to get a new phone. You just figure out a way to pirate the stupid game. There are sites out there right now that pirate iOS games that you would have to pay for in the App Store that you can go and download them for free. And this obviously is not legal, but whatever. If you really want your damn Flappy Bird, I'm sure somebody can do something like that. Second, when you buy a phone from somebody, generally part of the process is wiping it to make it yours. So if you just buy the phone as is and want the apps on it and everything else, guess what else you're getting? You're getting that guy's phone number. You're getting that guy's email. You're getting that guy's everything.
Yeah, that's retarded.
Now, I mean, and of course you could do stuff. You could eliminate all of that stuff and leave it with a phone with nothing but that one app on it. But come on, really? You're still getting the... And I guess change a SIM card or something to change a phone number. But really, you got to be out of your mind. Plus, there are all these clones... Plus, they're web versions, too. I retweeted a link from goddamn Sesame Street that put out a web game of Flappy Bert, of Bert and Ernie fame, that just has Bert flying in the same way. on their website, and you can click it and play the stupid game. It's like, really? Anyway, the whole thing is insanely stupid. And now, I must say, I've played the game. It actually really is addicting. It does make you want to keep playing it, because it is incredibly frustrating. It does, like, only take a few seconds per game, and you're like, God damn it, I know I can do that. I know I can get through that pipe, but I keep hitting it. But I know I can get through. And then you get through one, and then you've, like, gone through five, and then you want to get through six, and then you're like, but I know if I can do six, I can do seven. And then you keep playing, and then, you know, here you go. Yeah, I got one. Oh, two. My score was two that time.
There you go.
Let's take another break. And we'll be back and we'll talk about the AOL distressed baby. Back after this.
You're in the Valley, AM 1620 and LigonierRadio.com. This is where you'll find your favorite songs. Everybody's doing a brand new dance now. Come on, baby. Let's do the twist.
Well, they got a new dance and it goes like this.
Classic music for a classic American town, AM 1620, and in stereo at LigonierRadio.com, The Valley.
Okay, we're back.
Back.
AOL distressed baby. So, yeah, there was a lot of stuff in this story about 401k plans and benefits and blah, blah, blah. What the hell happened, Yvonne? Give the background.
Well, okay. Sorry. So
you sound wonderful.
Oh, yeah, thank you. So the CEO of AOL was talking about some changes they were making to the 401k plan, where they were going to, instead of, like, putting the matching, like, I guess, on every paycheck or quarterly, I can't remember how it was at AOL, to only doing it once a year.
I think it was every paycheck.
I think it was every paycheck, and they wanted to move it to once a year, which, honestly, I mean, it's like, that's kind of sucky, because you only get the money at the end of the year, so therefore you don't get the investment returns during the time of the year. And if you are not with the company, then you're not going to get the money. Okay, so yeah, so that's just kind of, you know, sucky. So anyway, he's talking about it. He was talking about what things were impacting cost, and for whatever the hell crazy reason, he started talking about how a couple of employees had very sick children when they were born, that apparently the total tab of these kids in intensive care and everything, whatever, was about $1 million.
And he specifically said, you know, he said there were two distressed babies.
Two distressed babies, yes. And obviously, you know, I mean, the people whose babies were knew immediately who the fuck he was talking about. Right. Okay, all right.
And meanwhile, you don't think, for instance, like, if I have a medical situation happen, I frankly don't expect that the CEO of my company is going to know specifically about it.
Right. And then, oh, by the way, talk about it in an all-employee fucking, you know,
right,
cast.
And by the way, I should say, one of the mothers involved actually came out and wrote an article on Slate about her side of being one of those moms. She was not an employee of AOL, but her husband was.
Okay.
And she talked about it. And of course, it is exactly what we thought. It was an extremely premature baby that needed lots of emergency medical care and treatment from the moment it was born through to the present, basically.
Right.
It sounds like the kid is over the worst of it now, but still will probably need extra medical care for a long time to come, if not the rest of their life.
It may well be. So basically, bottom line is that, I mean, it was a very insensitive comments, and a lot of people, you know, were very agitated by them. And basically, he had to come back and apologize and just say, well, yeah, I opened my big fat mouth, and yeah, I really upset a whole bunch of people, so yeah, and oh, by the way, because so many people are pissed off about the whole 401k thing, well, yeah, I'm not going to do it the way I talked about. So it was overall, basically, so it was
let me ask, what is the scenario anyway? Because, like, normally you'd expect the company would work with an insurance company, and the insurance company would have this information, but even if there were higher costs one particular year than another one, you wouldn't expect the insurance company to be, you know, reporting on it on an individual by individual basis to the company, would you? What was different here that caused them to even have that?
There were, like, reviewing costs, and apparently this was an outlier. I think that that's what it is, because you got to remember something. For most big companies, okay, they don't. It's not insurance.
They self-insure.
They self-insure. The health insurance company merely administers the plan. Right. So the costs do flow directly to the company.
And so they got a breakdown that says, so they know how much they spend on every single employee.
Yes, absolutely.
It seems like I understand they're the insurance administrator, so they are, well, they're the insurance provider, I guess.
It may well have been that probably when he talked about them, and
he may not have known the individuals, he just knew there were two.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
So those two individuals immediately knew who they were, and apparently a bunch of their coworkers did too.
But I'm sure that he didn't know who they were.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just insensitive. I mean, that's pretty much the reality.
And meanwhile, like, whether it's a distressed baby or something else, if you see the couple of outliers that have insane healthcare costs compared to somebody else, you know something really horrible happened.
Either
they have this kind of situation with a baby, or there's cancer, or a major accident, or something.
The whole point is that is the whole freaking point of insurance. I mean, that is why you. I mean, the reason why you self-insure is because you have a big enough pool that you're spreading the cost around. Right. Okay. You're collecting premiums. You have a payments. You don't need to put it into a separate pool. You have a big enough pool that, you know, what you collect versus, you know, what you're going
to
pay out.
Wouldn't it be wise in these situations to go with an even bigger pool to put yourself in with the rest of the insurance company or something? I guess they save on fees or something here.
I think they save on certain different reasons. I mean, certain people make different choices depending on how much financial risk they want to have.
Right.
The whole point of it is it was quite an insensitive situation. I mean, and he should have known better than to go and start just talking about something, you know, like that, when probably, and the thing is, this is not the first time the CEO has done something like this. He did this whole thing where he fired an employee in the middle of a freaking conference call, like, about 4 or 5 months ago.
Yeah, I remember. He ended up apologizing for that, too.
Yeah, he had to apologize. I don't think the
guy got his job back, but he apologized.
He did not get his job back, but he did apologize for basically, for going in the middle of a freaking conference call and firing him. I mean, he was, like, giving something.
And it was another one of these big conference calls with, like, hundreds of people on it, right?
It was an all-company webcast, conference call where he was talking about Patch, okay, which is apparently AOL is getting rid of. Okay, they recently announced. And he was announcing layoffs and certain changes and whatever. And there was this employee was in the room at the same time. And apparently he had been warned about taking pictures and stuff and whatever of the activity what was going on and whatever. And he basically didn't heed it. And he just was taking pictures of what he's doing. It's what he told him he shouldn't be doing. And he was doing it in the middle of him giving this conference call. And he just flipped out and just said, you know what? You're fired. And everybody, like, was like, whoa. And the whole point of it was, listen, he may have been very well justified in firing him. But, dude, you don't go do that in front of a few thousand employees.
Right. That's something you do very carefully by the appropriate.
At the end of the call, you grab the guy and say, hey, get over here. Get into my office right now.
And frankly, probably in a large organization like that, even doing that is relatively rare. When you fire somebody, generally, you're going to go through an HR process.
Right.
You're not just going to pull them into your office and say you're out of here.
That does happen sometimes.
Look, I'm just saying.
I have done that. Okay. All right. I did do that once. Okay. I had an employee that basically just
There are certain things that if happen, you know that has to happen immediately.
And I actually it wasn't a business ethics issue or something like that that should have again terminated right like that. But I was just so fed up. I called him on the phone. I said, you know what? Listen, you're fired. I mean, I'm going to go call HR right now and figure out how the hell to get you fired, okay, as quickly as possible. But I'm telling you something. You're not going to have a job by the time you go home.
Nice.
Okay. And I figured
out. Ryan is such a sensitive soul.
You know, when somebody lost us a couple of million
bucks...
Yeah.
You don't get into the details of what happened to your company, but, you know...
It's so long ago, it doesn't even matter. But, yeah, but let's face it, when I... You know, look, I've done that once. Okay, I've managed people for 20 years. I've only done that once. All right? Okay?
Yeah, like I said, Normally, you go through an HR process.
Absolutely.
You have to spend time documenting stuff. You have to make sure you have
absolutely. But there are exceptions to the rules.
Yeah. I mean, okay? there obviously are, but this doesn't seem like it should have been one of those exceptions. Even let alone doing it in front of the big meeting. But
that was just stupid. No, that really was.
So the guy has a few self-control issues, apparently.
Apparently, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, him and Joe Biden would make a good team. They both stick their feet in their mouths repeatedly.
Oh, wouldn't that be something?
It's one of these things that once again reminds you that AOL exists.
Well, I mean, you know what? Here's the thing. And you think about it. AOL has gone out and, like...
I know, they're reinventing themselves. They're really different. It's not... I mean, everybody, when they hear AOL, thinks about old dial-up modems and stuff, but that's not what they do.
That's got nothing to do with that anymore. I mean, they've got, you know, they've purchased quite a few different properties on the internet for news and other things. Mm-hmm. You know, Huffington Post, for example, is one. TechCrunch, a few others, and you know they've really turned themselves into a different company. It's just not. I mean, it may have the name AOL, but it sure as hell is not the, you know, the AOL of all those CD-ROM discs that we used to get in the mail, that's for sure.
They should try that again.
The CD-ROMs?
Yeah.
That would be cool, actually. I don't know. I wonder what I did. I mean, you know, how many of those do you think you got? I mean, because I got some. I mean, I remember getting...
I never got as many as other people, but I had some. I probably still have some in the garage, you know? Are they collector's items now, or am I going to make money?
I'm sure they probably are!
I'll have to find my AOL discs.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah. I probably have some AOL floppies.
Oh, good lord. I think I trashed all my floppies.
No, I definitely have boxes somewhere with old floppy disks. Not only the 3.5 ones, but I have the 4.25 disks, too. Or 5.25, or whatever the hell they were. The actual floppy
disk. A real floppy disk.
Yes.
Good lord.
I don't know where they are, and they're probably half melted and unreadable. But you know, I'm pretty sure I have boxes full of them somewhere.
Well, I can tell you that I think I am 99% sure that I took all the floppies I had and just tossed them.
Shame.
Well. I don't even have a machine to... I don't even have a floppy drive anymore.
Yeah, I must say, if I found one of those, I would have a severe challenge figuring out a way to read it. Most of my floppies weren't even PC floppies. I have, like, some floppies for the Commodore 64 and stuff. But, I have the Commodore 64 and its drive, too, somewhere. So,
oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, man. you know, I wish I still had my Atari.
I still have in my garage every computer I have ever owned. Most of them are, some of them are no longer functional. Some of them are. I mean, at least last time I tried them, which in some cases is over a decade, but, you know.
No.
How the fuck did we get on this? AOL.
Anyway, the guy's
a jackass.
All right, yeah, we're done. We're out.
We're done. Okay, that's it. I keep banging the table for no apparent reason.
It's good. It sounds good. It sounds like you're hitting a gavel. That's what we should get you. We should get you a gavel.
We're done. Or a bell or something. A bell would be cool, too.
A bell. Yeah, that'd be cool. A bell.
Yeah. Anyway, we're done. Thanks for listening, everybody. And I guess tune in next week. Send us feedback in the usual ways. And we'll talk
feedback.
To you next. We'll talk
feedback.
To you next. Yeah, yeah.
Feedback.
Yeah. No. We'll talk to you next time. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
And of course, I can't hit stop because my keyboard battery died.
Well, I'm hanging up.
Goodbye. Bye.